Hi, everybody. It's Sandy Shore. You're listening to Happy Hour. Thank you for tuning in. I'm coming to you live from San Diego, where we're getting ready for a big storm. That's right, a big storm's coming in by tomorrow morning, so everybody's hunkering down. First it was the fires, now it's the storm, and we're a little concerned about the mudslides. So anyway, tonight for you, we're going to bring Tommy on in a second here. Tommy is the talent coordinator for the Comedy Store in Sunset in Hollywood. And then right after that, I'm bringing Kevin Fulton on the air. He's a good friend of mine and a radio personality with a lot of information. We've got some projects we're doing together. We want to talk about that on the air. Also, if you want to call in tonight, you can do that. I want to hear about how your shopping's going. Or your Christmas, what you're planning for your Christmas holiday. The call-in number is 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Or 888-815-9756. You can find the numbers right on my page on bbs.com/happyhourradio. Thank you. Okay, so anyway, we're ready to go till 8 o'clock, and let's get this show on the road. Tommy.
Hey.
Hey, how you doing today?
Good. How are you this week, Sandy?
Good. Yeah, we're getting ready for the storm, so.
Of course.
Yep. We were speaking earlier today, and, the holidays come around, everybody sort of scatters.
Right.
And families merge together.
Yep.
And we're planning on bringing my father down to the La Jolla Comedy Store to do a show on the weekend of the 22nd.
The 23rd, the great Sammy Shore.
Yep.
Not only a comic that's performed all over the country as well as parts of the world, as he was his big thing's open for Elvis for years.
Yeah, he also founded the Comedy Store.
Yeah, he did. He founded the store with, what was the guy's name, DeLuca, Joe DeLuca?
Rudy DeLuca.
Rudy DeLuca, excuse me.
Rudy DeLuca. And, Tommy works with my mom, he works with the lineups, they put their shows together each week, which takes a little bit of skill.
Right.
Can you explain how you put the shows together a little bit?
Well, first, the people that work out here at the store on a regular basis are called paid regulars. There are people that have showcased in front of your mom, gotten up on stage, she's looked at them and just asked whether they want to work out here or not. Once she does that, they call in on Mondays and give us what we call their avails. They let us know who's in town and what nights they're available on. And then I go over to your mom and we talk about it. We talk about people and she gives me times and she kind of carefully positions how everything's put together. And those are called the lineups. And those shows are for Tuesday through Saturday in the original room and the main room. And those are the people that really, belong here. And those are the same people that were... And not only are the people we have today, which we talk about, but the people from the past, such as Robin Williams and David Letterman and Richard Lewis and all these other people have been paid regulars here. They work out here at the same time. I mean, Sandy, I see great shows now because I like these comics, but while you were growing up and coming in here, you saw legends performing together, right?
Right. Yeah, we have a comedy store in La Jolla, and they've played both places.
Yeah, and you managed one in La Jolla, so you saw them all there, too.
Yeah, for 5 years. Now, you told me a little story today about some guy that finally became a regular, or what was he
what are we talking about now?
The guy that pissed on the bed in La Jolla.
Oh, you're talking about Mark Maron. Well, he's already been a paid regular. She passed him a paid regular, but he has never really gotten great spots and never been recognized by your mom. He actually worked here at the store in the late 80s as an employee while Sam Kinison was peaking here. And, he ran with them, and your mom... He went down for some La Jolla show in the early 90s, and I don't know what happened, but she has some story that she thinks he peed on the bed, even though he says that didn't happen.
Oh, we have a condo where the comedians stay when they come
right.
down here. It's
right.
a very famous condo.
Yeah.
I'll never forget it.
Beautiful location, too. I mean, it's right on the ocean down
yeah,
there.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know if that's such a good place to be anymore, is right on the ocean. I lived there for a while, not in the condo, but right on the ocean. It was very noisy, very crowded, and... I couldn't sleep good because of all it's like white noise. People go, how could you say that? I love the ocean noise. Ooh. But when it's never ending, even when the windows are closed, you still hear this crashing going on. It's just...
Right, then you long for quiet.
Yeah, I like really quiet.
Right.
Really quiet. Mm-hmm. So we're getting ready. Me and my dog,
yep.
Sunny, are getting ready for... I have a collie, and he's a year and 4 months old, and we're getting ready to go Saturday to his a herding trial.
Wow.
He's going to go herd some sheep.
Wow.
And try to get his herding certificate. And what that means, that's the first leg in getting a herding certificate, is seeing the dog actually herd. He's really good at it.
Sounds great.
He's poor little sheep, though. They look really scared. You know, the dog comes in and they just chase him around in a circle. Last time he chased the sheep right into my knee.
Well, your dog is a magnificent creature. He's absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, I've never seen such a good-looking dog. My hobby is going to dog shows.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to one a couple weeks ago, and he got first in class again. We've done 8 dog shows, and he's gotten 8 first in classes. I'm
talking
like a proud mom, but it takes a lot of work. Did you know there's makeup that you put on your dogs for dog shows? There's actual makeup.
I can believe it.
Isn't it? I was shocked to find out. You even trim their whiskers.
Oh, wow.
You know, he's a white collie, so there's like a little white chalk, and then there's mousse for his hair, and there's, you know, makeup, actual makeup color. You know, and then we draw in the mask a little bit, and then the ears are always taped. Yes, when they're little, you have to tape their ears. It doesn't hurt them, it's just tape.
Right.
So their ears have to fall forward.
Oh, wow.
And he was very well behaved. It was the best show he's ever done, because he's getting more mature.
That's great.
So anyway, it's a fun hobby, but there's other things you can do. There's agility.
Right.
There's all kinds of sports you can do with your dogs.
So. The world of dogs.
I know. That's me. That's my hobby.
That's great.
And so the Christmas is coming. Now, we're open on Christmas, aren't we?
Of course. No, actually, you won't be open on Christmas in La Jolla. We'll be open here. Because you guys are closed on Tuesday anyway.
Okay. Christmas falls on a Tuesday or a Christmas Eve. Yeah, my whole family's going to be in San Diego for the holidays.
That's right.
It's really odd.
We're seeing if we can get your brother Polly to perform with your dad. We're working on that right now.
Yeah, that's the last leg of it.
Your dad's still going to be there no matter what, which is great.
Right, and then my brother's coming in from Chicago.
Yep, with your niece and nephew.
Yes, I can't wait.
Oh, I know. Sandy's got a beautiful niece and nephew.
I already got her. I got her a little digital camera. I wonder if that, is that too young for a camera? I don't think so.
I don't know. She's smart.
Yeah, that's one of the things. And, of course, I got her, I buy her these Lassie DVDs because it's never too soon to start kids on Lassie.
Right.
I think every single person I see goes, oh, I had a collie when I was a kid.
Oh, boy.
I think that's from everybody having watching Lassie.
Yeah, that's right.
Right?
That's right.
Everyone had a Lassie.
Everybody had a Lassie.
There's the Bangladesh had this big flood. And Naveed, one of my student comedians, are doing a big benefit on Saturday at Qualcomm.
Oh,
for
wow.
the Bangladesh, the flood victims, because he's from Bangladesh.
Okay.
And there was, I don't know, 30, I don't know how many deaths, like, I don't, or, and displaced people. It was just a big
mass. Horrible.
Right. That's another nice thing comedians do, is when there needs to be a benefit, they always need, comedy really is an important part of society.
Comedy is a healer.
Yeah.
And it also brings people together.
Absolutely. And so I'm happy to be raising new comedians.
Yeah, well, that's what you do.
My website was just done, sandyshore.com, S-A-N-D-I-S-H-O-R-E, if anyone hasn't been there yet. And we're working on it. We're going to be putting up some online workshops. And, so tell me, anything else going on up there? Or is it quiet? Is everybody scattered and...
Yeah, there's a lot of people working out up here at the store in Los Angeles, so anybody finds yourself L.A. way, the shows are beyond right now because all the big guys are in town working out because they're not on the road or anything like that.
Yeah, we had my friend's family went Saturday and said there was a great show. Polly was on.
Yep.
In the main room. It was a really good show.
Yeah.
If somebody wants to do stand-up comedy, I know I've asked you this before, but what would you say... Because it looks really easy.
No, they think it is because they're seeing someone who's worked at it for a while.
It's like, anything. You have to keep doing it over and over.
You do, but it's fun to go up on stage. I think that people can find the fulfillment of working at stand-up comedy by going on stage immediately. It's what they want.
What would you say the difference is between... There's several different comedy clubs. What is it with the Comedy Store? I mean, I already have the answer to that, but I want to hear from your point of view.
Well, I mean, the Comedy Store is a comedy club. It's true. So are the Improv. So is the Laugh Factory. So are Yuck Yucks. But very few, if any, grow comics. We bring people in here, and they develop their craft in here. That's what David Letterman did. That's what Jim Carrey did. That's what Robin Williams did. They took their craft, and they became better by working out here on a regular regiment of workout sets.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to a comic.
My mom, yeah, she has a way of knowing who to put. I mean, like, she would have David
Letterman.
She's
very good with the lineups in the sense of putting people in positions that are not just going to make the show good, but also so the person working out will benefit from either going after someone difficult or going after someone unusual or going after someone really easy or whatever she's trying to give them. And then she'll use opening sets and shows and later ladder sets and shows as exercises for people and particular things she's trying to spark out of them. So the Comedy Store is an artist colony of comics.
Yeah, it takes years. It doesn't happen overnight.
But I also, too, like to be very careful in my tone not to sound discouraging. Because I still think, as even you notice, when you teach your class, when people get on stage, they feel fulfillment from getting on stage and doing it, right?
Absolutely.
So they get the fulfillment immediately. It's just as you get better, you make more money or something, right?
Get hired. And by the way, working clean is the best way to get hired.
Well, it's the way to clean. You can be slightly profane if you want, but do it. The closer thing you want to try to be is clever. Trying to be as many cuss words as possible is just shocking, and it might make a certain group of people laugh, but it won't give you longevity. And you can't be booked in a majority of the clubs if you're just nothing but profane.
Absolutely. That's a big deciding factor on the direction of someone's career.
Yeah. I saw when it all the profaneness came to a real halt with Jerry Seinfeld in the late 80s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because up to that point, people were going crazy after Richard Pryor opened the door.
You know what I heard? Open mic, someone told me everyone works really dirty on open mic. Everybody. I mean,
one in La Jolla?
Yes.
Well, that would be because they're being given the freedom to. They should need to be told, as maybe I will pursue doing through Ryan, that they can't just get up and do anything because it's too early at night to do that.
Mm-hmm.
That's something your mom has taught me. It's not about not being blue. Is that it doesn't make sense to do it before 9 o'clock at night. It's just disgusting.
That's a good point. Yep.
It's all about the time of night. When they're on it with me, watch Potluckers, and they're really blue, she goes, doesn't say to me, what do they think they're doing? She goes, don't they know what time of night it is? It's 8. The guy's talking like a pig. Get him off my stage. Right?
Yep, that's very accurate.
Oh,
so, anyway, I'm gonna move on. I want to thank you. And
okay, thanks a lot for having me, okay?
Absolutely, and we'll talk to you next week.
Talk to you later.
Thanks, Tommy. Okay, we're bringing Kevin on the air in a second here. I was looking over the news today. There's some really odd news. I just wanted to share some with you. Let's see, a woman was jailed for fraud over pledge to lift deadly spell. You know those people that go, pay me $100, you have a spell on you? Let's see, this is in Cyprus. An elderly woman was convicted of fraud Thursday after a court ruled she took cash from a man to lift a deadly spell using an egg, his briefs, and a urine sample. She was 69. She's going to serve 20 days in prison. That's pretty much exploiting, but that's real typical. Let's see. We've got, Coast Guard captured 355,000 pounds of cocaine this year, causing smugglers to use costlier transportation methods in Washington, D.C. Officials said they have forced smugglers to transport their drugs through costlier methods like semi-submersible vessels and liquefied drugs A man makes tower bridge out of 1.6 million matches and takes him 10 years. Guy must have been bored. It was 1.6 million matches. That's right. I just said that. It's a 6-foot-long structure. Student outsmarts suspected bike thief, uses Craigslist to get bike back. In Tempe, Arizona, a resourceful Arizona State University student turned the tables on a man suspected of stealing his $1,000 bike and set up his own sting, ending with the suspect's arrest. He discovered it was missing from his home. He didn't know if he was able to pry it open or what. Let's see. He said he was desperate to get the bike back. Okay, that was smart. Do we have Kevin on the line?
Hello. This is Wesley Snipes. And when I'm divinely inspired and spiritually motivated, I listen to Dr. Fred Bell in the Health and Sciences Show on BBSRadio.com. Tune in or be tuned out.
Hi, it's Sandy Shore. You're listening to Happy Hour. We went to a quick break there. I just wanted to finish up a couple little news items here. Police force training dogs to headbutt criminals, not bite them. That's pretty cute, huh? North Wales, you really couldn't make it up. A Welsh police force is training its dogs to headbutt criminals rather than bite them because politically correct PC bosses are afraid that allowing the dogs to bite criminals will infringe on their human rights. How about that? Kevin, I was talking about my dog and the dog shows a little earlier with Tommy. So, and I've done a few little things on the news. It's just some odd news. You know how I like to do the odd news. But I wanted to introduce everyone. Kevin, this is Kevin Fulton.
Hi, Sandy.
Hi, Kevin. And Kevin and I have done commercial radio for a couple years in San Diego, and we're working on a new project. I wanted to bring Kevin on the air. We wanted to talk about it and see what's going on in Kevin's world.
Yeah. Actually, I'm at one of these beautiful resorts here in Southern California right now, so I'm getting out of a golf cart and into a truck as we leave, but boy, it's been fun up here.
What,
you know, and you and I, it's a big politician thing, you know, hey, vote for me, the election's right around the corner, you know, I'm the guy that don't suck, you know, it's one of those deals, you know. But it's been a lot of fun. You know, I heard you talking about the animals, you know, and you have such a connection with animals, too. I mean, I know you were talking about your dog, and I'm sure when Tommy was on, he probably talked a little bit about how you used to take Scooter to the, to the comedy store and everywhere you went. But even, like, in the control room when we would do the radio show that you were talking about, you know, Scooter was the star of the show. You and I were just there, you know, setting him up. And the same thing's with Sonny. And you have such a connection with these animals as well, too. It's like the spirit of the animal you really understand, too, on a whole other level.
I think when you spend a lot of time with your dog, you know, that makes him a better dog. But Scooter passed away, everyone, and then Kevin and I went off the air. Scooter was part of the show for a couple years, and I couldn't get my chops up. I was so devastated. And Scooter was just a mixed dog. I had, you know, his brother, Buddy, and then I had both parents. But So Scooter was just an incredible animal. I mean, we all say our dogs are, but Scooter was very special because he'd walk around wearing his sunglasses. He looked like a white lab. And he was part of the show. He went into the control room with us and just sat under the table, and he did his barking, went on cue.
Yeah.
And especially that time I got stuck in the elevator.
Hey, that's what I was going to say. It was so funny, because the radio...
The fireman didn't believe there was a dog in the elevator with me.
You know, it's so funny because I still tell people that story, and to ride an elevator with you now is a totally different experience. But, you know, the radio station was on the seventh floor, and you and Scooter left after the show, and then halfway down the elevator got stuck, and you actually had the fireman, in La Jolla to have to come and get you out of the elevator. So it's funny now, anytime that somebody rides with you, you've got like a whole emergency kit there. You got your water, you got something to eat, you got magazines to read, you got your cell phone, you got the whole shooting match now.
Well, the cell phone worked in the elevator because it was those emergency buttons you push?
Yeah.
They were like, oh, you're, hello? I mean, they didn't answer the phone, or they were like, we'll get to it later, it'll be a few hours, you know, and I was like hysterical because there's no air in these elevators, there's no escape.
It was so funny. But the fire department got a big kick out of you, and then the fact that it was Sandy Shore and then a dog that they were rescuing and all that stuff, you know, they love that. And then, of course, you did the right thing, too. I mean, you gave the fire department tickets to come to the Comedy Store and see some comedy down there, too, and thanked them for helping you out. So it was cool to have them down there at Christmas time.
Yeah, by the way, I was in there for 45 minutes. do I ever ride in an elevator by myself? No,
yeah.
Not again, no.
And that one particular elevator, you never would set foot back in, you know.
No, and then they keep getting stuck in that same building. It was a modern building, but, you know, it's really horrible.
Just one of those things. Now, you know, I was going through some of the old shows today because, as you know, we're going to create a new opening for you for this. And I was listening, I heard Bobby, you know, a little bit from Bobby Lee. Of course, I heard your brother Pauly did an opening for us. And then also, you know, I'll never forget the one night when the two of you guys got into it on the air. And then all the listeners called in after that to start boycotting Pauly Shore because, you know, you turned out to be the favorite of the family, you know, from everybody on radio.
Oh, yeah, he can get really mean, especially if he's live on air. It's like, I don't trust him. But he hasn't been back on air with me since. I think we both agreed that, you know, oil and water on the air. Oh, my God. He was just trying to
do his stick, and it got a little out of hand. But he loves you because it was funny. I was listening. Like, remember at Thanksgiving, you know, where you took up and you had your Thanksgiving family on the air and all that stuff, and you know, and your dad, you know, and I got to thinking about that too. You know, you've had an interesting life because your dad was the opening act for Elvis Presley, mm-hmm. which you know how huge is that, and then your mom. You know, launched the career of every comedian from David Letterman and Jay Leno to, you know, Eddie Murphy and Arsenio Hall and everybody on down. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, now, you know, Pauly, you know, so I was listening to some things you were saying about how you were known as, you know, Sammy's, you know, the Elvis's opening act's daughter, and then it was Mitzi's daughter, and then now it's Pauly's sister.
Right.
But now you got your own, two cents back in there again.
Yeah.
And having a name like Sandy C. Shore, only a comedian would name somebody that.
Maybe someone one day will go look at Paul and go, oh, you're Sandy's brother.
Well, you know, that's coming for sure.
Let's talk about what we're doing.
Yeah.
About with the military.
The comedy boot camp. We're going to get that kicked off in January, and I want to thank you for helping with the military because you know we were doing some things with the military this morning, and one of the things that they always point out is that the active military that are actually serving in Iraq and on our ships overseas and on our bases, they realize that we're at war right now. But a lot of the civilians kind of forget about it because we're just living it through the news.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's tough on the military families. And what you're actually doing is really cool. It's the comedy boot camp where we're going to take 12 active military. We're going to take 6 Marines and 6 sailors and send them through your workshop. Sandy has, you know, the best, you know, workshop on the planet. You know, she wrote the best-selling book, you know, the Secrets to Stand-Up Success. So what we'll do is we'll send them through your workshop, and you'll help them develop their routine. And then once we've got them so they've got a polished act, then we're going to take them over, and they're going to perform at the Navy hospital for some of our wounded warriors. And then we're going to go out to a ship, and they're going to perform on a ship, and then up to a Marine base where they'll perform on a Marine base. And then we'll come back to the Comedy Store to have Military Appreciation Night where they'll have like a final showcase. So we're real excited about doing that with you.
Yeah, it's taken a while to plan it out. Like anything, it just takes... But, you know, we're at the finishing line here with it. We've been working on it for several months.
Yeah, you know, and like what you're doing right now with the Internet and with radio, you know, that's... You know, that's where everything in the world is heading anyway. And so what we'll do with the comedy boot camp is we'll actually have webisodes, TV episodes, if you will, that will be seen on the website itself. So everybody can kind of see week to week how the development of these comedians are, and then they'll be able to see the show, you know, on board the ship or at the Marine base or whatever. And but we're really glad that...
A couple of my students are in active duty right now. One's over in Iraq and one's in Australia. So we're going to hook up with them.
Warren is really funny, you know. I mean, he's gone through your class a couple times now.
Yeah, for years.
Yeah.
He's taken years.
And he's, yeah, he's in the Navy and he's serving over in Iraq, so it'd be great to have some elements from him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Yellow Ribbon team, you know, we're so proud that we've been able to connect with you. And on yellowribbonteam.com right now, you can go there and actually see a little bit about the Comedy Boot Camp itself.
Mm-hmm.
And, then obviously, you know, as we launch this thing out, it'll be a big thing because there's already, you know, TV and radio locally that want to do something with it here in Southern California, and of course there'll be a big, huge web push. And then the talk is once we really, you know, get this first one on the West Coast finished, then we'll look to the East Coast and do something at some of the military bases there as well.
Absolutely, yeah. We plan on becoming, you know, this, you know, we plan on making this a regular contribution to the community. And this is probably like the height of my career because teaching since '92. And now, you know, now I've done workshops at Camp Pendleton, but, I've been doing workshops and it's helped the community in a lot of areas, but being so close to the military, like, cause, you know, I'm going to go to the ship myself or,
absolutely,
you know, and I'm going to be getting more personally involved in this. I'm very excited about it. You know, give me 10 push-ups. That wasn't funny, sailor. Did you say they're going to put me in one of the tanks or something?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, at Camp Pendleton, you know, that's where they train the tank drivers and then the infantry. And, you know, most of the guys that are over in Iraq right now come from Camp Pendleton, which is, you know, in North County, San Diego.
San Diego, the whole history is military.
Yeah, San Diego actually is the largest military complex in the world. There's more military personnel and bases here than anywhere else. And,
I remember years ago it was there wasn't any regular population. It was mostly just military people.
It really was.
Back,
you know,
in the 80s.
Yeah, and if anybody remembers the Tom Cruise movie Top Gun, you know,
right,
that was all San Diego, and that was, you know, and it's because it's a Navy town, and that was shot there in Miramar, you know.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, that's you know, I mean, you can actually see a lot of the scenes that, you know, that are here locally and all that, because it was all built around what, you know, what happens over at Miramar with the Blue Angels trained and that whole thing.
Now, but, you worked for one of the presidents.
Yeah, I've been pretty lucky. I actually got a chance to work the closest with President Ronald Reagan, but also with George W. Bush. And then I did a little bit with his dad, George Sr. as well, but... it worked out really cool. You know, I tell you a quick Ronald Reagan story. Everybody loves these. When I got a chance to work with him, it really was like kind of meeting somebody's grandfather, you know. And I didn't realize, but he was setting me up for a practical joke. And he did such a good job because he, like, worked me for an hour before he pulled the punchline. You know, we're all nervous. And this was right, this was like in 1991, right at the end of Desert Storm. And, he was just leaving office and George W. Bush had taken over. And so, we did this thing, this television shoot with him. Oh, that's fun. The first thing I learned is you can't say we're going to shoot the president. You got to say we're going to videotape the president. The Secret Service, they got a little wacko on that deal on me. But anyway, so the president comes in, we videotaped him, you know, with some things we were sending out to the ships. And at the very end of it, he goes, look, you know, I've got some good news. And I've got some bad news, so I can't stick around and hang with you guys. Let's get this TV work done and move on. So it's like, oh, okay, no problem. Well, once he knew that all the work was done, then he says, well, okay, well, here's the bad news. Jane Fonda is going to go over to Iraq and stir up the whole mess just like she did in Vietnam. She's going to meet with Saddam Hussein. It's going to be a mess. I'm like, oh, my gosh, you know. And he goes, well, but the good news is that Senator Ted Kennedy is going to drive him to the airport, so we probably aren't going to have to worry about it at all. And then he just told us joke after joke after joke. It was just great. It was really cool getting a chance to spend that time with him because you could really understand why he was such a good president.
He's very well balanced. You know, people that have a sense of humor, I sense to trust them more.
Yeah,
they're lighter about everything. Didn't you work for the USO or something?
Yeah, I ran all the shows for the USO for about 5 years, where we would be flying people out to ships and taking celebrities out there and on the bases, and
so
then we would do these shows on a thing.
This boot camp is just like old, you know, it's like bringing back, you know, the way things used to be.
It really is, you know, and the reason that it's so important, you know, is because it gives them something fun to do, too. It gives them a chance to kind of, you know, forget about the war for a minute and do some things that are fun for them, and then it gives them a chance to think, well, once I get out of the military, here's something that I do want to pursue. And, you know, that's one of the things that the generals and the admirals always point out to us is the military family is who's actually going through this war. So the husband may be overseas, but the wife and the kids back here are still having to deal with it. And this is just a way for everybody to have a little bit of fun for a little while, you know, and take a little bit of a break.
Harley Davidson is promoting something on the 15th here in San Diego.
Yeah, we're going to do a big Christmas to the troops event. And what's going to happen is we've got, you know, a live band and a barbecue, and the military families will be coming over. We've got Santa. We've got about $60,000 in presents that were given away to military families that are coming out. We'll do a broadcast that day as well. And one thing that's kind of cool, we're doing some video messages where the families that have somebody overseas right now, well, even like Warren, okay, we got to do this with you, where you'll get in front of the camera, you'll give a, hey, Merry Christmas, you know, whatever you want to say, and then we actually send it overseas so he'll have that message for Christmas so he doesn't feel all alone.
Well, that would be great.
Yeah, so we ought to do that for Warren.
Absolutely. Warren's been in the Navy for 37 years.
Yeah, he's an old guy, man. He was in the Navy back with George Washington crossing that Delaware.
I can't forget. He wrote me something. He said he keeps re-enlisting. He hasn't been out of, they haven't paroled him or something. Every time, I forget how he worded it. It was very funny.
What a great American. I mean, to still be helping the military out after all these years. And he's what they call a chief in the Navy. So he's gone about as high up the ladder as he can as an enlisted guy. But he's still out there plugging away, doing his part.
What is it with our society that, you know, ever since I've been born, we've always been in wars. I mean, we're always in a war. What is going on that we even need military? I mean, that's just the way our planet is. But, the history of our planet, we're always at war.
If there could be more people that could just sit down and actually, do some of the things that you always say, where you try and connect to the spiritual side, or like, I know you don't like blue comedy, shock comedy. You like things that are funny and just to communicate with people because you're a feeling, caring person. And if we could get more people just to look at that side of things, maybe we wouldn't be at war. One of the things that General Pace, who's part of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, we met with him this morning, and one of the things that he was saying is that all the other countries, in NATO, that are in part of this whole thing with us in the war over there, everybody is looking at it from their own agenda, and they don't realize that, okay, terrorists are trying to shut down America because they hate our way of life. And if we could just get everybody to almost take the Switzerland mentality of, you know, I'm not trying to hurt anybody, I just want everybody to have a good life and be more on that spiritual plane, boy, we sure would be a lot better off.
So he really said that today, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
you think somebody in that high rank would, you know, keep, you know, enforcing it almost.
Well, you know,
that's their job.
Yeah, and the thing that they always point out is, you know, they're not a fan of war any more than we are, you know. They don't want to go out there and get shot at any more than anybody else does. But they believe in the way of life of America, and right now you have to protect it. And one of the things that they pointed out is if we weren't over in Iraq, you know, taking it to them over there, we would be fighting the war here. And, you know, they would be coming to America, and we don't want them in America.
Well, can you imagine people pulling up to our, like, La Jolla Cove, where all the seals, poor little seals, and, you know, launching an attack off our coast?
That's exactly right. Yeah, go down to La Jolla to see the seals, and all of a sudden you have a suicide bomber. You know, we don't want that. So
can you imagine? Oh, what a...
Exactly.
I mean, we see it on the news over and over and over again, and it doesn't seem like, you know, like you said earlier, that we just hear about it on the news.
Yeah, we don't really focus on...
And we forget about these, you know, our military. How many military are out? I mean, I don't know what the numbers are.
Yeah, well, see, here's the thing with that whole deal is... they're talking about, do we grow the military? Do we add more to it? And people are trying to figure out, you know, oh, Bush is spending all this money in the military. That's not actually accurate. What's happening with our military right now is our young Marines are going over to Iraq 4 and 5 times, and then some of these guys have been over there for a long period of time, and they need some relief. That's why we want more people in the military, not because we want to turn into this big warmonger machine. You know, I'm not kidding, Sandy. I mean, I've met these guys, and they look like kids, you know, because they're 24 years old, and, you know, and, yeah, 18 to 24, and you'll talk to them about Iraq, and they've already been over there 4 times. It's like, oh, my God, you know, like back in the Vietnam days, somebody would serve 1 term in Vietnam, come home, and they're out. That's not the case anymore.
I'm kind of interested in the meeting this morning. What was that about?
Yeah, he actually is the former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and now Admiral Mullen from the Navy has taken over as the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. And so he's in town today to meet with the Marines and the Navy and this group that we're part of called the San Diego Military Affairs Council, which is basically a lot of the big military brass, just to kind of give a state of the union on here's really what's going on and here's
and
where we are
next, and
here's what
and
we need to do.
And now we're going to have a stand-up comedian in between your break. I mean, I'm just kidding.
There you go.
So what is he comes into town to, like, meet and just, what, talk about the state of affairs pretty
much? Yeah, kind of exactly, you know, to kind of give us a rundown on that, on what's happening from the battlefield unfiltered, you know. That way you're not hearing it from Larry King or Barbara Walters. You're hearing it directly from the source.
You're hearing it directly on BBS Radio on Happy Hour. Is there any positive news that came out of it? I mean,
there is. One of the things, and you know, you keep getting everything spun when you hear from the media, but, you know, he said, you know, their main goal was that on September 10th, everybody in America was happy. September 11th, everything got turned upside down, and what their goal is to turn it back so by September 12th, we could have the kind of lifestyle that we had as September 10th, and they've made that happen. We actually are winning the war. We've made a lot of inroads, and things have actually happened in a positive light for us. And a lot of the things, too, that they've learned from other wars they've brought into this, we're not having as many people harmed over here as ever before.
People are getting so much disinformation.
Absolutely.
Thing they're hearing about, it's about the oil. The other thing is, oh, the president knew it was coming.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so much information out there. What is the actual truth? I mean, how do you know?
Well, the actual truth is, if we were fighting for oil, you know what? There's more oil in the United States and in Mexico and all these other places. We didn't have to go over there to fight for oil. So that's just somebody trying to spin it.
Didn't they light the oil fields on fire anyway?
I mean, exactly. And the first thing that the military did, which was really smart, is they went to where all the water was and circled around and cut all that off. So, therefore, we control the water. You control the water, you know, these guys are going to be, you know, wanting something to drink pretty soon, and they're going to have to go through us to get it. So they've got control over there, and they really are trying to,
I never even heard that they are controlling the water over there.
Exactly. But, see, that's because of the media and the way they spin things and you know, versus what actually is happening, you know. Because, you know, if they can make it look bad, well, then you got people watching, you know, the news. And if all of a sudden it's looking good, well, you know, now it's not as interesting as if we could tell this story or that story. And with everybody, all the politicians trying to get elected, you know, it's better for them to try and have some of this spin on it the way they are.
You never seem to get the straight answer, ever. I mean, we don't get a straight answer. So we don't trust the press anymore. We don't trust politicians anymore.
Yeah.
You know, and the media is controlled, as everybody knows. And I think, you know, this particular radio station is not part of that. They're independent, which is really hard to find as an independent media source.
Yeah, and you know, we don't have any political agenda. I'm not, you know, for the war or against the war or for this president or that president. You know, all I'm trying to do is help make the world a little bit better place. And regardless what you think of the war, the president, or anybody else, our military are protecting our way of life. no matter which side of the fence you are on. And if we can do something to help them and their families a little bit, then that just makes us good Americans. And it's fun for all of them to be able to spend some time with you and go to the Comedy Store, and they're all excited about going through the boot camp.
I know. I'm excited to teach. It's a whole, you know, it's, and comedy is, it, you know, it's a very delicate process as far as putting a set together, that you don't insult people, that, you know, you have to be almost politically correct with comedy these days, because look what's happened to, you know, certain comedians that are, I mean, everybody has to be so politically correct not to insult each other too much, but then that freedom of speech.
Yeah.
I think that's what comedians have more than anybody's, freedom of speech.
Yeah, and you know what? Actually, comedians have some of the best ideas, too. Like, you know, like Chris Rock, I think, he's really funny, but one of the things that he says that I think is really smart, when he's talking about gun control, you know, he's saying, well, I think everybody should have guns, but charge $5,000 for bullets, you know, then all the gang members, you know, I'm thinking, that's a great idea, because then he's saying, then the gang members are going to think, well, you know, is this person worth wasting my bullet on or not, you know? I mean,
why do people need guns? Why don't they just get, like, stun guns or pepper spray or whatever?
Yeah.
They have those new guns they're trying out where it's, what is it, they shoot at them, pellets or something? I don't know what
Yeah.
It's much better, the military. I was, you know, watching, you know, everything on TV is so violent and, you know, all this and that. And I'm just wondering, you know, one day we're just going to have robots to go in and fight the wars.
Well, now see that you just said that. That's one of the things that actually is being worked on right now. Is they've got a lot of robots. They've got these jeeps that actually they have what they call unmanned vehicles, where they actually run by remote control. The next big wave that you're going to see over the next couple of years is they've got these airplanes that are unmanned. So it means there's no human flying them. So what will happen is the plane will actually leave off of an aircraft carrier, fly over top of the bad guys. They'll run their infrared to figure out where the bad guys are. Then they'll send it back to a computer. Then the next plane will go over and drop bombs, and there'll never be a human inside. So if the plane ever got shot down, a human life wouldn't be wasted.
I wonder who's the first country that's going to have, I mean, there's so many countries with, I guess everything's top secret about all their weapons and things, but I'm sure we're on top of the list with our inventiveness.
Yeah,
we stole the stuff off of an alien spacecraft, that thing that landed in Roswell. I mean, that's the story. Like the laser technology and all that. I think that's the story going around.
You know a lot of that kind of stuff, too, you know, with your metaphysical background and those kind of things. What do you think about, like, the stuff that you hear from Roswell and how much is true and how much is myth?
Well, I had my own personal experience, so I can go on that only, and I know it's true. We're definitely part of the universe, which has got other life in it. There's no doubt about it. And even Larry King Live recently did a whole show on UFOs, and there was, I don't know, 14 people from 7 countries, including pilots and real reputable people, talking about their UFO experiences. So it is coming out in the forefront of the news. It has to. There's enough people believe in it. And I really think that, you know, we're ready for it, because we, you know, our consciousness needs, we need to get outside of ourselves a little bit and look at the bigger picture. And that's the other thing, you know, it's always look at the bigger picture instead of, you know, our own little world. You know, people are in we are our own little world. It's like, ooh, what am I going to get Johnny for Christmas? You know, what am I going to get Johnny for Christmas? I don't know.
you're so right. That Larry King that you're talking about, I saw in the governor of Arizona was the lead guy on the panel, and he believes extremely in UFOs because he was there and saw the big Phoenix sighting that is so famous now. President Jimmy Carter and President Gerald Ford also had personal eyewitnesses on UFOs, and part of that show was because that now they have deemed that a lot of this is more credible than ever before, and so the governor of Arizona was going back to meet at the UN for some big council meeting that they are having, like, right now, to go through and discuss with people all over the world on what is legit, you know, and how can we actually start looking at it from a more credible point of view. Because
what really bothers me to the core is that all these other countries reported on their news, but we won't touch it with a 6-foot pole. And so the fact that Larry King came out with it gives it a little bit of credit approval, you know.
Absolutely.
It's time, you know, it's time that, you know, more news is reported. Let's hear some reality news. They should have a news show called Reality News.
No, you're absolutely right, because it's only reported in the National Enquirer, and it needs to be more mainstream media like Larry King and those kind of things. You know, and I think, you know, the big, you know, thing is, well, everybody that's reported it, you know, has been, they typically try and say it's some redneck from the South with no teeth that saw it in a cornfield, but that's not actually true, you know?
You know what, I think, Jimmy Carter said, he saw something that looked like a craft. He wouldn't admit that there's aliens in it, but he saw something that looked unusual.
Yeah.
And that's, at least they're saying that much.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, it's time, don't you feel a big change happening on the planet? Don't you feel it?
Yeah, I really do. And just from just from a straight mathematical point of view, with all the billions of planets that are out there, to think that we're the only one out of all the universe that has life on it, you know, that's crazy to think like that.
And then some people just have a belief system like that. The skeptic they had on Larry King, that they will even if it was in front of their face, they still wouldn't admit it.
Yeah.
But I just think that people have a belief system, and they're going to believe what they're going to believe. But I think having an open mind for other possibilities beyond their belief system, you know, it makes a better human being, because you're not saying my way is the only way. There's other ways. There's other, you know, I'm excited about it. I think the future is very exciting. Even though we've got mortgage foreclosures and the economy, this and that, we all have to have 3 jobs to survive, and it's really hard living nowadays, and everybody's got their issues and problems. But if you just, like, step outside yourself and go, the future is very exciting with, you know, the technology. Look at the technology we have. And, you know, when I grew up, it was, it was tap-tap on the typewriter, you know.
Yeah.
It was a whole different world. Look how fast things are going.
I know. I mean, if you think about it, you know, when we grew up, it took 45 minutes to bake a baked potato. Now you throw it in the microwave oven and it's done in minutes, you know.
I don't use microwave ovens. That's a molecule.
I'm an old guy. You're young and beautiful, you know. But you're right. It is an exciting change, and I think we are starting to become more open-minded. And probably it's because now, you know, with all the space travel and space stations and been to Mars and been to the moon and all that, people are starting to open their eyes a little bit and say, you know what, there's got to be more to this.
Definitely. And then, you know, I think I'm going back to our comedy. I mean, I've been in the comedy field since I was a fetus, and I came on this planet to help evolve people through humor. And I really think humor is a key factor into getting people to open up a lot. You know, to be flexible in their thinking. I think humor is a great language. I think it's the one language that unifies the planet, laughter. And I don't want to sound, what is the word, mediocre about it, but I feel that that's key into opening a lot of doors.
Well, you're right, because, you know, humor has a way to kind of cut through and get to the point without putting anybody on the defensive, and then people can look at things a little bit more open-minded.
So as far as future, you know, and the future plan for Comedy Boot Camp, we're going to, I mean, our goal is to make this a regular addition to, you know, the military, at least locally, and as you said, we're going to expand it.
Yeah, we'll expand it. Yeah, we're going to start here with the Navy and the Marines on the West Coast, and then the plans are then to, you know, take it, you know, all across the country as well too. And then at some point in time, then we'll look at, you know, doing something overseas, or at least having video done overseas that come back. Like, obviously with Warren, you know, we'll have some things that we'll mix back and forth with him in Iraq and us here at the Comedy Store.
Now, your interest in comedy was, I mean, you did stand-up comedy years ago because...
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. When I've been on the radio obviously forever, and when I first
Does he have a good radio voice, everyone? Listen to him. He's got a great voice.
I always wanted to be in television, but I have a face for radio, so that's the way it worked out for me. There you go. The when I was a kid growing up, and I loved watching Johnny Carson on TV, and I always thought, well, someday I would like to look at maybe doing something along those lines. And then everybody started hearing about the Comedy Store and Robin Williams and David Letterman and all that. And I grew up in Florida, so my whole big thing was, well, when I get to California, I at least want to go to the Comedy Store. And then when I got here, that was one of the first things I did was, I made sure I drove by it. I took pictures of it. Then I went to some shows there, and then I got into an improv class. I got to go down there and start performing, and then the thing that worked out kind of cool for me is, since I was also at the radio station, I would get to do my comedy sets not only at the Comedy Store, but then I would get to open up before some different concerts, because the radio station would be promoting the concert itself. Mm-hmm. And then that's how I got into the USO shows and all those, and I ended up producing shows, and then I would MC them or perform comedy, as opposed to just focusing on doing straight stand-up like so many great comedians have. And so that's what kind of probably been spread so thin, but I love everything that the Comedy Store stands for and what it's done, and I like being connected, especially with you and where we're going now.
Absolutely. I'm really, really, and this is really excited about it, most of all. And
Sandy, and I know you're my friend here and all that stuff too, but you are so talented at what you do, because there's a lot of people that think, oh, I'm funny, I can just get up here and tell jokes, and that's not it. And what you do is you actually take someone and shape a funny, type of way to present their material, whether they're going to be a comedian or a writer or even just a salesman that's making a presentation. And then when you look at your track record, not only of having a best-selling book, but all the people that have gone through your class, like Vicky and all those, Mark that are winning, all these awards and all these contests and stuff, it really shows that you know what you're doing. And, I'm really proud to be associated with you.
Thank you. Yeah, it's just like it's just an instinct I have. I could do it with my eyes shut now. It's pretty much turning someone into a character.
Now, let me ask you this, because, your first checking account, that you opened up, tell everybody who gave you the money for that.
Oh, Red Fox.
There you go.
Yeah, I was 17 years old, and he gave me $100 to open my first checking account. Isn't that cute?
So do you see comedy from the days of Red Fox and Sammy Shore and the Catskill comics versus today? Talk a little bit about the difference between then and now and how all that works.
Brilliant question, because today is like cookie cutter. Because what do you want to do when you grew up? I want to be a comedian. I mean, that wasn't like that back then. These were the guys that laid the foundation. It was more of a club, it was like my dad going to Vegas, and, the big thing was going to Vegas when I was a kid. That was it. We'd spend our summers, we'd drive across country and go to Vegas, and stay at the Algiers Motel, and there you have it. But, I don't know, I was born into it, so I don't know any other kind of life. I've tried other lives and different things, and I keep coming back to this because it's in my DNA. And it's like, it's my mission. And there was no comedy clubs ever, My family started the comedy clubs. And look what's happened. I mean, it's just, so I think the, the legacy's got to keep going. And, actually I'm glad that we have a niece and nephew in the family now, because someone's got to keep carrying this thing on. I don't know if that's what they're going to want to do. But, each member of my family contributes in the way they know how to keep this going. I have a lot of little stories. I used to go on the road with my dad, and then I'd shout out his punchlines. I was 5 years old going on the road, and I'd sit there with my Shirley Temple and my blanket in a club, and I'd shout out his punchlines, and I ruined all the sets. Then he'd bring me on stage, and I'd sing God Bless America for everyone. And that was it. And then pretty soon he stopped bringing me on the road because I ruined everything. That was like the highlight, And I used to wait up in Detroit. I was 3 years old. I'd sit outside with my blanket, wait for him to come home at 2 a.m, and then we'd sit on the kitchen table and eat butter with him. I'd sit there with my favorite food, butter.
Oh, man.
Well, we're at the top of our hour.
Yep.
But, Kevin, I feel so happy that you came on the show, because I've been doing this. This is like, I think, my eighth show.
Yeah.
And it's been, you haven't been on the show yet, and you're part of my radio voice.
Well, I'm so glad to be a part of it, for sure. And I'm 2008 is going to be an outstanding year for both of us.
Yes, definitely. Well, okay, so you're off in, are you going back into the meeting, or?
No, I'll let these politicians save the world, and I'll head on out. I got to, you know, tomorrow I've got to, a couple big things that I've got to do with the military in the morning and all that, and just looking forward to launching the comedy boot camp.
You're so busy.
Well, there you go.
Taking the time, Kevin. Okay, so yellowribbonteam.com.
Absolutely.
To learn about the comedy boot camp, whatever. And sandyshore.com, my new website's up, and Sandy with an I. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We'll be back next Thursday. We're going through a big storm this weekend, Kevin. Are you huckered down for the storm?
Yeah, I'm batting down, so.
Yep. Everybody's like, my neighbors are like doing all kinds of things to their houses, and so, but anyway, we're going herding on Saturday, and it's probably going to be rainy and muddy, and I'll tell everybody next week what happened at our trial if my dog got his first certificate. So, okay, everybody have great shopping experience out there, and we'll talk to you next week.
Hi, everybody out there. This is Xenia Seberg. And who are you? Because I'm there no matter where you are. Because this is Dr. Fred Bell's show on BBS Radio.
Health, Science, and Energy show on BBSRadio.com.
We'll make you sound better than you sound right now.
Well, that's a good thing. For me, it's like midnight here. I'm going to bed, which doesn't matter to you guys. Aren't you ready? Stay tuned.